Time of the morning right now to catch up with Kim Valenti from Valenti Lawyers. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Troy. How are you? Good morning, listeners.
Hey, due to a recent decision of the High Court, we're speaking this morning about some independent contractors. What's the background on this?
A lot of your listeners, maybe even yourself, Troy, know that there's something, the concept called independent contractor, where within the commercial business environment, people set up their own small business, have their own ABN, and then they run their business and then they offer those goods and services to principals or third parties who run another business. The trucking environment, transport is a prime example.
Yep.
And the idea of an independent contractor and what constitutes an independent contractor in law has always been a little bit fuzzy, but it works.
Okay.
Recently, a couple of fellows, each of which had an ABN and a small business where they're providing transport and delivery services to a principal, some sort of storage and warehousing facility. And they entered into a contract for service with that entity, with an entity, one and the same. And they, for a period of some 30 years, provided that service to the company. Anyway, a dispute arose as to whether they should be entitled to superannuation and perhaps some other benefit. I'm not quite clear on the other, but I thought there might be some other. Because when you're an independent contract, that's what you are. You're independent. You take care of your own super. You take care of your own annual leave. You take care of your sick. If you're sick, you suffer. No one pays you while you're on sick leave or on annual leave. And no one contributes to your super. Anyway, it looks like that a dispute arose between the two gentlemen that own their separate transport and delivery businesses and the principal company, which they worked for some 30 years, as to whether or not they were effectively in law employees and should receive superannuation contributions per the legislation, right? Anyway, the High Court had a look at it, and the truckies were saying, look, we were the independent contractor. We have our own truck. We work for this principal full time. We've been doing it for 30 years. We wear their uniform. We go where they tell us, et cetera, et cetera. And we think we're effectively not an independent contractor. We're employees and we should get superannuation. Anyway, the High Court had a look at this and said, look, there is a contract here, a written contract between you, the independent contractor, and your principal. And that contract says, in very clear terms, you are an independent contractor and there is no relationship of partnership, employment whatsoever with the principal. And therefore, we, the High Court, believe that the document that is called the contract for service is the document that governs this relationship. And therefore, you are an independent contractor, you are not an employee, and therefore the principal doesn't have to pay you your superannuation, a contribution to superannuation on your behalf. That has really played very, that's cleared the deck, as it were, because the High Court has said, that's it. And that is somewhat different to what was going on in various lawyers' minds and in various courts over the years, where if you work for one person only, you weren't quite an independent contract. If you're wearing their uniform, you're one of them. If you were doing exactly what they wanted you to do, when to do it and so forth and how, then you're more an employee. And I can see that reason. But the High Court has said, no, if you have a contract for service that determines and states quite categorically that you're an independent contractor and you can go away and get other work if you wish to, you are an independent contractor. And the principal does not have a legal obligation to pay super. The implications for that, twofold, there's a set of implications for principals and there's a set of implications for the independent contractor. Okay. I don't think I have enough time this morning to go through all of that, but we might discuss that at another radio chat. So I thought that the business community out there in your listener world may, not necessarily enjoy, but at least they're informed and then they can be aware of, hang on, I think Valenti made some comment recently about this. I better look into it, whether it's a principal or as an independent contract.
So is it about the word independent, pretty much?
Yes, effectively. Yes. Are you really independent? And the contractor said, no, we weren't. We worked for these guys for 30 years. We did what they told us. We wore their uniforms. We effectively might have been described as independent, but in effect and in fact, we were really only working for one entity and effectively like an employee works for an employer. And that was the contract didn't say that. And so the High Court said, no, you've always got to go back in a commercial world to your contractual arrangement that you entered into as independent adult people conversant with the English language, understanding commerce, and probably taking some advice as well from their accountants. So a bit of a challenge, but not a challenge, but it certainly you move the shares a bit on the deck.
I bet it did too, yeah, for sure. So for all the contractors out there, you might want to reread the fine print pretty much.
Well, it's crucial, Troy, that the contract terms are crucial, and both principals and independent contractors must read their contract document because they'll be bound by it and they will not get anything more than what that contract tells them. Like, for example, in this instance, we thought, said the two truckies, well, we could be receiving superannuation benefit. Well, you could not.
No.
And that's put a bit of a lid on that for the time being anyway.
All right. So if you're a contractor out there, you certainly want to read the fine print and, you might want to get in contact with Valenti Lawyers later on today. Now, you also wanted to mention something about the farmers maybe who have been caught up, unfortunately, in these bushfires.
Yes, Troy. Valenti Lawyers would like to offer pro bono preliminary legal advice to victims of the fire who may have a legal issue that's arisen from the fire as a result of the fire and don't really know which way to go. It's important that they feel that Valenti Lawyers will listen to them pro bono, and I emphasise that, no cost, for preliminary legal advice if there is an issue or a question, which may arise in many, many areas. Yep. I don't want to sort of put a box around the areas, but we are more than pleased to provide that pro bono advice. If there are members of the community out there who are suffering and do have a legal question, ring me on my mobile 0411 889 049, or go to info on our website, info at Valenti Lawyers, etc., and we'll do what we can to assist. In a very limited way, of course, unfortunately, because the losses have been severe.
For sure. Have you heard from any farmers as yet, Kim?
Not as yet. Okay. I've had discussions with a couple who have fought the fire on the particular weekend. Mm-hmm. And some of the stories and the effort and the energy exerted was quite significant. And you can just sit there and say, look, I admire you all. I just admire you all.
Certainly. Yeah. So there you go. So if you're on a farm that's been struck by these fires and you may have a legal issue or two, as Kim said, pro bono, preliminary legal advice, give him a call today, 0411 889 040, or just give us a buzz here at the station, 133 53, and we'll pass on Kim's telephone number there for you. Anything else from you this morning, mate?
Not at the moment. I'll come back in a couple of weeks' time.
Have a great couple of weeks, mate.
You too, Troy. All the best. Thank you. And to your listeners.